Welcome to the Cairns Writes Podcast, home of science fiction, fantasy, and horror author Michael Cairns, me. If you like what you hear today, you can find more at cairnswrites.com and download free sci-fi novella, Childhood Dreams.
In episode 22 of Scarlet's Web, the Masters of the Council and Maliant had some serious magical fisticuffs. Scarlet escaped the room, only to realise she had to go back in there and save the day. Oh, and Martin returned, which was nice. Scarlet's Web, episode 23. If the bubble expands, it will destroy everything. Scarlet's eyes widened, despite the smoke and the flames, and she stared at Martin. Why would it expand? Because Maliant is insane, and he doesn't have the control he thinks he does. Scarlet nodded, digging into her pack for the ingredients. She already knew what she was going to do. It was both stupid and dangerous, and she thought Martin would be proud. She laid out what she had left of the ingredients, praying it was enough, then closed her eyes and began to chant. She pictured Elt, now happily prancing about in the Shetland Islands and pissing off the other unicorns up there. She reached out, calling for him, and just like that, he was there. There was no communication, no words, but the power flooded through her. She gasped for breath, the world going dark before her eyes. She had demanded everything he had, and he gave it to her. She put her palms on the floor and moaned, every fibre of her being buzzing and singing. She could feel the bubble and knew how it worked. She could sense the others in the room, the four magicians filled with pushy masculine energy. She could feel red, something entirely different, and still wrapped in red leather. Then she cast, holding the unicorn in her mind, and at the same time picturing the darkness and the dry stone underfoot. She opened her eyes as the light grew, contrasting with the reds and oranges that played across the burning room. The light expanded, covering Red and Martin, and went still further. She held them in the room, not allowing herself to be pulled through until the light washed over the two councilmen, passing through the bubble and on towards Maliant. At the last moment he noticed it, his eyes widening before he too was covered. Then she rose to her feet and took a step, and the room shifted and the fires winked out. The bubble sat on the stone, barely visible through the gloom, but a moment after they arrived, Maliant lost his control and it vanished. The two men inside dropped to their knees, groaning and holding their heads. The ghost who wasn't a ghost turned to her, mouth open wide. "What have you done?" Scarlet smiled, blinking away the headache that threatened at any moment to put her on the ground. "I thought we might all like a change of scene. I mean, you've been trapped in that place for decades, right?" He came for her, but Martin was quicker and backhanded him across the face. Maliant dropped to one knee, hand clutching his jaw. He stared up at Martin with narrow, burning eyes. "You are a slave, nothing more. Get out of my way." "I am no one's slave, and my vows mean nothing here." Maliant paused, getting to his feet and looking around. "Where are we?" Scarlet pointed to a distant figure on the horizon. "You should probably ask him." The champion drew nearer, and Maliant finally realized where they were. He chanted frantically, using his hands and everything, but nothing happened. The two council members were the same, talking in panicked voices and trying various spells. Martin ignored them, turning to Scarlet. "You brought us to the shadows." She nodded, not wanting to speak until she knew what he thought. "I was in Sydney. It's a lovely city, you know. If you're ever held against your will, there are worse places for it to happen. In fact, I'm now beginning to think I should have stayed there." "What, and miss this?" He gave her a look but smiled wryly. "You've been busy in my absence." "Of course. Could you really imagine me sitting in bed all day, looking at my computer and reading?" He chuckled and turned to Red. "You've been here before as well." "I have. We would have died if not for Scarlet." A sound like grumpy thunder reached them and they turned. The champion stood before them. She had forgotten how big he was. "Hi, nice to see you again." "Nice is not the word I would have selected. I have questioned since I met you. It is not a nice feeling. But it's a feeling, right? He nodded and turned to Maliant. I know you also. You have tried to reach here in recent times. Why is that? These two and their friends killed me and broke my spirit self. Coming here was the only release I could find. And now you're here, and I release you. Scarlet's hand flew to her mouth. She hadn't seen his sword move, but Maliant's head flew from his shoulders and hit the ground with the most horrible thump. His body spat blood from the severed neck for a moment and crumpled to the floor. Scarlet squeezed her eyes closed, even though she knew it was an image that would be with her forever. The champion turned to the two masters, beckoning slowly with one Subway sandwich-sized finger. And you? Why are you here? Evil Mastermind stepped closer and even managed to sneer. We were attempting to put him back in his cage when she, he jabbed a finger at Scarlet, brought us here. The champion turned to her and she reddened, heat rising to her face. I know it's like massively jerky of me, but they were going to destroy our world. I didn't have any choice. You always have a choice. He turned back to the masters. As do you. But that matters not at all. You are trespassers here. The blow took one through the neck and buried deep in the other's chest. The headless master dropped to the floor, but the evil mastermind was stuck on the sword, blood running down the colossal blade. The champion adjusted his feet and hauled on the sword, and it exploded from the other side of the master's body. The two halves hit the floor, the thud mingled with a wet splash. Why was she watching? She turned away, hand over her mouth to try and stop the vomit. Would there ever be a time when she wasn't sick when she saw someone get chopped in half? Would there ever be a day when she didn't see someone get chopped in half? She groaned, going to her haunches, as sweat covered her brow and dizziness assaulted her. She stayed there until she realised that everything was silent. She reluctantly turned to face the others. All three stared at her as though she had the answers. She'd already used all her answers and saved the world in doing so. Wasn't that enough? She pushed herself to her feet and stepped closer to the champion. How do you feel? I think a lot. I still do not understand whether that means I feel, but it is more than I have ever done before. She waited, a nice warmness rushing to her face. But I am sworn to this place and its rules. You brought these people here because of what you knew I had to do. You must pay the same price as they have. She swallowed, head dropping to her chest. She'd known, somewhere deep down, that this had to happen. The second she thought of the spell, she knew she wouldn't be going home. Her last text to Lara had included at least two kisses and a smiley. That meant next to nothing, but it was the best she could have hoped for. She looked up at the champion and nodded. These two were brought here by me. They had no choice and shouldn't be punished. I will abide by the judgment I made last time. He waved his hand and a light appeared. Martin stepped away from it, eyes wide. What is happening? The champion turned to him. You are this girl's master, are you not?
I am.
You should, I think, be proud. I wasn't aware you thought about anything, Martin said. Not before she came. Martin glanced at her, eyebrows raised, and laughed. Is there nothing you don't change with your presence?
School. School stays pretty much the same whether I'm there or not.
Now it is time. The two of you must leave.
No, that is unacceptable, Martin said. I will stay in Scarlet's place.
The champion stared at him for a moment and shook his head. You have business. Unfinished business. I will not accept that exchange.
Martin, it's okay. Really, I thought this would happen.
Martin shook his head, standing between her and the champion. The huge being growled. Do not tempt me.
You will be only the third person I have ever let escape this realm. You will go through me to take her. So be it.
No!
Martin turned to her. I can't let you do this. You haven't got any choice. I chose this, not you. Martin, the skinny Mia's at my house. You can look after her and Mum, right? Martin was still shaking his head, but his eyes were wet. His next protest sounded weak because it was. You can't do this. You're so young. Scarlet wrapped her arms around his big shoulders and hugged him. His arms went around her, and for a second she lost herself. He wasn't Dad. She didn't know what he was, but it was safe here. Her own cheeks were wet when she pulled free. Go now, okay? He shook his head. I will stay here while the champion completes his task. It is my fault you're here, and I will not shrink from seeing the results of that choice.
Man, you're so lame.
She turned to the champion. Okay, here we go. He pulled the sword from his scabbard and she winced at the darkness, feeling it sucking her in. He raised it and she took a deep breath, trying to think of Lara, but for some reason seeing only the poem on her Tumblr profile. She walks in beauty like the night, of cloudless climes and starry skies, and all that's good of dark and bright is there in her aspect and her eyes.
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, you can find more at cairnswrites.com and come back in a week for the next episode. You can also find me on Pinterest, Facebook, Goodreads, and Twitter, or email me at michael@cairnswrites.com.